You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist Extra. That's right, an extra installment of the Daily Nationalist. Your humble host, Grandpa Dan, with you this week. And, you know, I know you're used to Wednesdays, looking forward to Wednesdays and getting to listen to Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Unfortunately, you just get me this week because Dr. Johnson is off on well-deserved time off. So bear with me this week. We're going to discuss the Russian-Ukraine conflict. This week, I got into a little bit on my usual show, Parish of the Patriots, but I really want to get in depth on this. And what I want to bear down on this week in particular is Putin's line about his, you know, denazification of Ukraine and what that means. Because I see a lot of right wingers on the internet posting up triggered with this, and they don't understand. And people don't understand this is propaganda. Before I get into that, I want to touch on just a few other things because this thing is escalating, and I don't think people realize how much this thing is escalating. And I think one of the things that really highlights that this is escalating, this is getting bigger, is this announcement recently, just in the past several days, where Ukraine is welcoming foreigners to come in and, quote unquote, you know, fight for the freedom and democracy. And I know the UK, the moron Liz Truss, she jumped up and said this is a great thing, and among others. And we're going to have volunteers. You can come into the country. And I also saw an article saying that Ukraine isn't going to require like any visas, anything. These foreigners can come in to fight these evil Russians for the sake of the freedoms and the democracy. And I don't think people understand what this means. I think people have this idea that, like, I don't know, people who've been sitting around in the West playing too much Call of Duty are now going to jump up, go down, and get on an airplane and go to the secret rendezvous place to sign up for the Russian Volunteer Foreign Legion or whatever the hell. I guess that's what people think this means. This means that Call of Duty video gamers are going to go. I don't think that's what this means. You see, I think this means this literally means foreign troops are now going to be engaging with Russian troops with plausible deniability. Remember, they say there's not going to be any visas required. This means these people aren't going to have any any paperwork tracing them back. If you think that this means that just, like I say, video gamers now are going to get up off the couch and go volunteer to be cannon fodder for the Ukraine because they love freedom, democracy, and gay rights, I've got a bridge somewhere to I got a bridge in Arizona to sell you or something. I mean, it's just, this is going to be, they're going to send CIA guys, they're going to send military contractors, what we used to call mercenaries. Probably, honestly, regular military. They will do a temporary, you're temporarily discharged from, say, the British Army, and now you're a volunteer in Ukraine, and they're going to send these people in, all while pretending, you know, plausible deniability. We're not sending troops in to this conflict. But they are. And I mean, Russia knows that they are. If Russia has any sense, they're working their intelligence agencies overtime to find out where these people are coming into the country, and they're going to slaughter them before they can get on the ground. I mean, I'm just saying that as a tactical perspective. Now, as we get off into this conversation today about this whole Russia-Ukraine conflict, I mean, I want to be upfront here. Yeah, I'm not Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. He's very, you know, he knows his stuff. You're getting my opinion on this, okay? That's it. I'm not claiming to be an expert. You're getting my opinion, which is based, quite frankly, on my common sense, my ability to see patterns, to take in the bigger picture, and what knowledge of history that I have. You see, a lot of this stuff is kind of rerun. This idea that these volunteer thing is an escalation. These sanctions are, you know, a major escalation. This open talk about, you know, destroying the Russian economy. I mean, that's war by other means. Then you have the UK. I don't know. I don't know, Britain. I don't know what to say. You know, Liz Truss. Every time this idiot, I mean, it's like fresh off of her making an embarrassment out of herself by not knowing what parts of Russia are Russia, not understanding there's a difference between the Baltic Sea and the Black Sea. This is what you get. Seriously, the West is supposed to be serious. This is what you get when you take a woman whose previous job is Minister for Women and Equalities, and all of a sudden you make them your foreign secretary. Here in the U.S., should be your Secretary of State. Supposed to be your top diplomat. This woman is an idiot. She comes out and starts mouthing off about confrontation with Russia, and Putin responds with putting his nukes on a higher alert. You see, this is why back in the day, I'm old enough to remember when we actually had professional diplomats. It wasn't really that long ago. You know, diplomats were always, your top diplomats were always very, 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 very select in how they worded things. I mean, to the point of being obsessive about the way things were worded so that nothing could be misinterpreted. You did not have people that held these diplomatic positions that go out there mouth off to the media without putting their brain in gear first. But it doesn't matter with Liz Truss because she doesn't have anything in there to get in gear. The gears are stripped. There were no gears to begin with. She's a moron. She should have stayed as the Minister for Women and Equalities. Nobody knows what the hell that person does. At least she couldn't do any harm. But now she's Foreign Secretary. Look. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got off on Liz Truss. That wasn't my intention. Let's reel it back in. She says she was real supportive of this idea of volunteers. Volunteers going in. Volunteers is going to mean you're going to have, I've already covered, you know, mercenaries, probably regular troops that are technically taken off the rolls as being regular military, and now they're quote-unquote volunteers. Now, this song and dance has been done before. And look, it doesn't matter. You sit there and say, well, they're not going to send. Well, maybe they won't. If they only send, quote unquote, military contractors in there, you're still sending foreign troops. I mean, yeah, now you're just splitting definitions. If the U.S., if Great Britain hires and pays for themselves, because Ukraine ain't going to pay for it. They're broke. They don't have no money. If the U.K. spends $4 million, I'm just pulling a number out here, $4 million to pay for private military contractors, i.e. mercenaries, to ship into the Ukraine to attempt to kill Russian troops on the ground, the UK is sending troops into Ukraine to fight Russia. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, they're not regular army. It doesn't matter if you're paying your regular soldiers or if you're paying these other guys. You're still sending troops into the conflict, and it's still an escalation. And I don't see anybody talking about that. People are sitting around, like, that barely got any, you know, really got any news traction at all. Now, getting into this, and like I said, the main thing I'm going to focus on is Putin's use of the term denazification of Ukraine, because I thought that was an interesting term. But before I get into that, yes, we are eventually going to get to that. I just have to lay this groundwork because there's so much going on because it's propaganda. And Putin's use of of that term is indeed propaganda. You got to understand. Now, in before you're being a Russian shill, I'm absolutely not. Well, you got to understand, you know, the old saying is true. Old sayings become old sayings because they're true. And the old saying that, you know, truth is the first casualty of war, and it's absolutely true. Now, back in the day, now you might think, like, it's different now, though. It's different. We got the internet now. Oh, it's different, all right. Because, like, if you think of truth being the first casualty of war, you know, back when your information was like a single newspaper that was published in your town or whatever, you know, the truth being the casualty of war was the equivalent of 20 guys got killed in a skirmish outside of the forest, and this kicked off the war. See, now that we have the internet, it's the equivalent of a major metropolitan city has had a nuclear bomb dropped on it. That's the truth. Casualties are massive because the amount of bullshit being slung around is absolutely massive. I mean, some of it is just so absolutely ridiculous that it's laughable. I hope Dr. Johnson is somehow managing to not look at the TV because I could picture his head like exploding. Because it's so much of this is absolutely ludicrous. You have to understand, you're getting propaganda, no matter the source, whether it's from Russia, whether it's from the West, whether it's allegedly from the Ukraine, quote unquote, government. It doesn't matter. You're getting propaganda. These things that are being posted on U.S. social, on Western social media, it's propaganda. Some of it is so obviously and laughably bullshit, you know, that they contradict themselves within one line to the next. But I mean, there's really very little real information going on. And in this, Russia's been really behind. I think on the propaganda front, Russia's done a really, really poor job. I'm serious. They've really done a poor job leading up to this. They've done a poor job during this operation. Again, this is my opinion. Before they went in, I mean, we've had this. The Ukrainians have been shelling the Donbass region for a long time. And Russia has obviously had this plan in the works for a long time. And propaganda-wise, what did they do to get prepared for it? Well, go up there and release statements, you know, that the U.S. media is going to ignore anyway. I don't think they grasp that in the propaganda war, you need rhetoric and you need imagery and you need emotionalism. They should have been spending, say, the last 6 months showing video footage of crying babies and shelled houses and people crying because their loved ones have been killed and because an artillery shell was being dropped on the Donbass and showing people trying to boil water because the water supply has been cut off by the evil Ukrainian Nazis. They haven't done any of that. Had Lavrov up there making very professional, very diplomatic statements. He is a top-of-the-line diplomat. We used to have diplomats like that, by the way. We don't anymore. We have morons. But nevertheless, yeah, you know, I mean, that's all well and good, but that's not propaganda. It's like people trying to counter hysterical rhetoric with logical dialectic. It does not work. It doesn't work. You got to, propaganda is rhetoric. Propaganda is emotionalism. They haven't done any of that. They didn't set any of that up. They just come out and make this logical, or yeah, it's real logical. If you could sit down the American people and tell them, look, they just don't want NATO. Why is NATO expansion an American interest? Why is it somehow so critical to America to expand NATO right up on Russia's borders? Russia's security concerns are very legitimate. That's all well and true, and y'all have released that in your media. They've released it to the public, and guess what? In the West, that don't make any difference. They want to see pictures of crying babies. They want to hear sensational stories. They want to hear how Ukrainians are going in there and smashing babies out of incubators. That's the way you do propaganda. Russia's trying to be logical. We put out our press statement. That's not how you do propaganda. If there's one thing I think the Russians have really handled poorly, it's the propaganda. And they continue. They continue to handle it poorly. It's like they're trying to do the Republican tactic. They want to appear to be the most reasonable on the world stage. What the Ukrainians suddenly say they want to negotiate in bad faith, we'll go negotiate with them, even though they're doing it obviously and transparently in bad faith, because we want to show the world, see, we're the reasonable ones here. We're the ones being extremely reasonable here. What has that gotten you? Are there less sanctions? Are there less acts of war being committed against your country because all these European countries now, along with the U.S., along with Britain, are openly talking about millions of dollars of weapons they're going to funnel into the Ukraine to shoot your dudes? What has your, I'm going to appear reasonable approach? What is that actually? I'm polite and reasonable on the diplomatic front. What has that gotten you? You need emotionalism. Russian media right now should be flooded with Ukrainians that have been liberated talking about how horrible it was living under the Zelensky regime. They don't have any of that. They're running around in Britain. They're running around the U.S. They're banning RT, banning Russian media. I don't know why they're bothering, because it's completely ineffectual. Why are they even bothering? RT, there's a perfect example. You know, I mean, like if you read the Global Times, that's the English language Chinese media. They don't put on any pretenses. I mean, every article is China very good, strong. We want best thing for our people. China look very look down very poorly on suffering. We want every humanity to be happy. I am exaggerating, but that's how the articles read. RT, on the other hand, has the Republican approach. They're trying to be, we are the real unbiased media. And they do their stories, and it's like, you know, Russia alleges that Ukraine has been, you know, slaughtering civilians in the Donbass, while the Ukrainians insist they have not. They're trying to do the unbiased media routine. What the hell has that gotten? Your asses are still banned. You're still banned from everything. Well, that worked real good. We want to be the unbiased media. Show people how reasonable we are. Piss poor job. Look, Russia, they're going to lie about you anyway. You need to get your own bullshit out there. It's propaganda. RT, we are the unbiased news source. You're banned. Wait, why would you ban us? We're unbiased. We're going to have people on talk about freedom of speech and how this is a bad thing. Doesn't matter. You're still banned. You should have been putting out articles, Russia's brave humanitarian fight to liberate the people of Ukraine. Why did they not frame it this way leading up to this? We are liberating the Ukraine. As bad as the U.S.'s wars of aggression all over the world, you know, at least they tried to frame it. We're liberating Iraq. They're going to welcome us with roses and cheers. They're going to, and they'd get a group of guys together and pay them so they'd stand out there and cheer the U.S. troops coming in. Everybody knew it's bullshit, but it's still, it's propaganda. Russia ain't doing none of that. They're trying to be reasonable and logical. They're doing a poor job. Poor job on the propaganda front. Anyway, you got to look at this. Look, Americans have this horrible habit. They have to boil everything down to sports ball mentality. I'm serious. And a lot of you, I love y'all. You know this. But a lot of y'all are guilty of this same stupid shit. It's not sports ball, okay? Americans, I can't speak for Europeans. I can't speak for Britons. I don't live there. So I'm not going to pretend to speak for you guys. But I'm going to tell you, in America, Americans have this sports ball mentality. You got a conflict, an international conflict, Russia and Ukraine. There's a little more to it than I've picked Team R, you've picked Team U. Now my team can do no wrong, and I'm going to cheer for my team no matter what. And Team U, you're going to cheer for your team. My team has to be the Hollywood good guy. Your team is the Hollywood bad guy. That's stupid. If you really, I mean, if you just want it for entertainment, more power to you, I guess. If this is nothing more to you than entertainment, then knock yourselves out. Just pretend it's sports ball. Just pretend you're watching a stupid Hollywood movie, and one side's the absolute good guy, one side's the absolute bad guy, and close your mind off from trying to actually understand anything out of the situation. Like I say, I'm not an expert. I'm not like Dr. Johnson. I don't pretend to be. But I mean, I do try to understand these things. And in so doing, I try to look at what's said. I try to look at what little information we can get. And honestly, there's not much. I would say 90% of what's being put out there right now from whatever source is bullshit. But we're trying to take what information, try to understand. Understand, but following this long enough to understand what led up to it. And you have to start at least in 2014 with the U.S. State Department sponsored coup to overthrow the government of Ukraine. You have to start there. I wish every story on this was like, if I could pass a law, every story on this would start with the U.S. State Department sponsored a coup in 2014 overthrowing the duly elected government of Ukraine. Every story should have to start with that. Then the American people might be able to put into their little tiny sports ball pea brains that there's a little more to this than, oh, Russia man, you know, Putin man bad. He's the new Hitler. And this gets into where we get with Putin's announcement that part of this plan is the denazification of Ukraine. This has been a very tiring line for me because, you know, one of the few places where comments are left, and there's not many, in the West in general, U.S. for sure, and honestly, I think the West in general, everything has to be the new coming of Hitler. Everything has to be the new Hitler. The, you know, anybody who tries to be reasonable is Chamberlain appeasing Hitler, and everybody who's the bad guy are the Nazis. Everybody gets called a Nazi. If whichever sports ball team you're rooting for, no matter what the topic is, because everything, especially out of the U.S., is some form of sports ball mentality, whether you're talking about any political topic, it doesn't matter what it is. You've chosen your sports ball team, and the other guys are Hitler. The other guys are Hitler. And Normicons are the worst. Normicons are the worst about this. Everybody is Hitler. I think of the meme, and I think Sven used it on one of our shows one time. And it's got the guy with the MAGA hat and then the Antifa guy. And they're pointing and screaming at each other over and over. Nazi, 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 Nazi. And then you have the Wojak, you know, the Wojak with the hell, you know, with the SS helmet on, with the dark circles under his eyes, holding his cup of coffee like, oh, God, get me out of here. That is political discourse and understanding in the West, in the U.S., in today. If they're the bad guys, they have to be the Nazis. Now, this use of the term, I've already covered on the show. I've been not exactly shilling for Russia here. The first part of what we've covered so far, I've been really, really, really critical of Russia's fumbling on the propaganda front in this conflict. Critical, to say the least, of Russia's handling in the propaganda front. They've done a really piss poor job. With the exception of this term Putin used at the outset of this, that he was going to denazify Ukraine. And like I say, I this is the original thing I was going to talk about, but I had to get into this other stuff first. And like I say, I go around the interwebs. I see people posting in various places, and I see a lot of people. Most people, I don't think anybody actually, well, anybody, people do, but most people don't seem to understand how, I think this was like the one good propaganda move he made, this whole denazification of Ukraine. Now, as you know, I'm big on definitions. If you're going to understand the truth of things, you have to bear down on definitions. And you have to understand, as I've kind of hit on already, but I'm going to really, you know, point it out once again in this context, what does the term Nazi mean? It is rhetoric, okay? This is pure D rhetoric, and we're going to use some logic here and hard definitions to point out what that means. Because, like I say, right-wingers on the internet all triggered by this. They denazifying Ukraine. You know, pro tip, if you find yourself taking the side that Globo Homo is on, then you probably may be misreading the situation a little bit. Now, as I said, every bad guy in from the Western perspective and from the American perspective is a quote-unquote Nazi. I mean, that is it. They never say, you know, they never say you're I don't know, it's always your Hitler. It's never your Stalin, you know. It's never your Trotsky. It's always your Hitler, you know. It's just ingrained in people's mind. You may not like it, but that is how it is. Now, when Putin used this term in his speech, you have to understand, this speech was intended also for domestic consumption. You know, he's not just talking to you, America. He's talking to his domestic audience, and whether you like it or not, and I get it. You understand, you went back, there's just been an enormous amount of really good work on the real history of World War II, and you've studied that, and you understand it, and you realize that, what do you know? National Socialist Germany was not the Hollywood cartoon villain that it's been portrayed to be. We get that. You know, I mean, that's all well and good. But you have to understand, for Russia, it's still considered a matter of national pride, the great victory that was fought against. And that is not going to change. I think it's interesting, if you watched and listened to Putin's entire speech, when he was talking about recognizing the independence of the Donbass, when he makes it a point to differentiate between Russia and the Bolsheviks. One of the big nonsense narratives here that they're putting out in the U.S. is that Putin wants to rebuild the Soviet Union, and that's complete gibberish. You can tell when Putin refers to the Bolsheviks, It's with contempt. I mean, that is the way. Of course, the Russian language always sounds like it's... You can be calling you a really nice guy in Russian, and it sounds like they're talking to you with utter contempt. So that's a language barrier thing. But I get the impression, the way he always makes it a point, it was not Russia. It was the Bolsheviks. Now, that is a separate thing. In fact, he talked about the history of Ukraine, and you know, these decisions were made by the Bolsheviks, much to the detriment of Russia. He makes that difference. But here in the West, he just wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. Anyway, yeah, his speech was also for domestic consumption. And this is a point of national pride. This is, I believe, one of the reasons that he used this term. But like I say, this whole denazification part of it was actually one of the few strokes of propaganda genius that the Russians have done. One of the few, if not the only. The rest of it's been kind of really, really poorly handled. So to help people understand what this means, let's ask this, because, like I say, Nazi itself doesn't really have a definition anymore. It's just you, the bad guy. But let's use it to understand and really get some clarification on this. Let's take out the you're just a bad person and use the actual what should be the definition, which is National Socialism. Okay? National Socialism. Now, if Putin is going to, if we're going to hold this definition, which is the logical definition to hold, to the context of what we're talking about here, he's going to denational socialize the Ukraine. Does that make any sense? If Russia levels the Ukraine today and the country is just nothing but a wasteland, exactly what national socialism has been lost? Is Ukraine a national socialist government by any stretch of the imagination? You see, you're starting to understand how, wait, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Because they're not using the proper definition of the word. It's just rhetoric. Can you picture if somehow the German, the NSDAP, German Third Reich National Socialism, has somehow found a modern day refuge In the Ukraine is somehow a modern red. This is, we found there's still a cell of it left. It's still, the light still shines in the Ukraine. Is there any version of Hitler's National Socialism that you can imagine that entails the supporting of and the installing of a Jewish-run government? Does that make any sense to you? Does that make any sense to you? One of the things has been, I was thinking about this before doing this show, one of the things that's been so funny about his use of this term, it is so funny to me because of the reaction by the mainstream media here in the U.S. If I sat down here and recorded one of these podcasts a month ago and said, since the 2014 coup by the U.S. State Department and those involved who you can search your own early life on, if I sat here and said the Ukrainian government is run by Jews, I would get accused of being an anti-Semitic hater. And now I turn on the TV, and because Putin said he's going to denazify Ukraine, I'm watching CBS, NBC, all of the mainstream media is out there loudly proclaiming that can't be true because Ukraine is run by Jews. It's hilarious. This is not me saying it. I've seen it. Our main broadcast news people are standing up there staring into the camera with their microphones and saying Putin cannot be denazifying Ukraine. That cannot be true because the Ukrainian government is run by Jews. It's not anti-Semitic if it's done by the mainstream media, I guess. I have found this absolutely hilarious. Like I said, a month ago, if nationalist podcasters pointed that out, you're an anti-Semite. Fast forward a month, and now it's being projected, it's being pronounced loudly by the mainstream media, and it's totally okay. This is one thing I think has just been absolutely brilliant about the use of this term, is actually cause him to run around and point out it's run by Jews. Now, some of you are going to sit here and say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, no, 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 you're missing the point. There are still hardcore Nazis in the Ukraine." What are we talking about? What, the Azov Battalion? And you get these people. Yeah, and I'm talking about people like commenting on the internet that are on the pro-Russia side. And everybody in Ukraine is a Nazi. They're going to get rid of these Nazis in Ukraine. Look, everybody in Ukraine ain't no damn Nazi. They're Slavs. They're basically racial kin with the Russians. This is a stupid brothers war, as usual. What about the Azov Battalion? Or maybe he's in there. Well, look at these. These guys, they're carrying on the... What? Are they carrying on... Are they carrying on the tradition of the Waffen-SS? Is that what they're doing? Maybe that's what we're supposed to think. Because if you're a right winger and you think the Azov Battalion or one of these militias is the modern version of the Waffen-SS, I would invite you to go back and look at the pictures of the actual guys in the Waffen-SS and then look at these guys. And tell me again, they're the same dudes. I'm sorry. You go back and look at the historical, because again, we're trying to use definitions here, not emotionalism, to understand that this is propaganda. You know what? It's propaganda is inevitable. This bullshit, this emotionalism, it is inevitable. But if you don't want to be swayed by it so that you have a clear view of what's really going on, at least some hint of the truth, you got to be able to set that aside. You got to be able to get that emotionalism aside. The best way to do that is to hand down definitions. If these guys are the modern version of the Waffen-SS, if they're the, and this is the light of National Socialism in the modern world for you, look at the pictures of these clean-cut soldiers from the 1930s and 40s, and then look at these guys. I'm sorry. These guys look like thugs. They look like gangsters. They're covered in tattoos. Just because they wave a swastika flag or National Socialist imagery from the 30s around, they look like gangsters. I'm sorry, they do. They look like gangsters and thugs. They don't look like Waffen-SS. And by the way, I'm not trying to crap on your parade. There are several governments right now in existence in the world today, and I'm not going to get off into it, who, when you get down to it, their governments have National Socialist characteristics about it. There's a little different version. I mean, they don't run around. They don't have swastika flags hanging on every corner. But there are National Socialist and principle governments with different characteristics on the planet. They exist. Don't be too black-pilled. You don't have to see a swastika flag for there to be some form of National Socialist. Put the words together. Is it a nationalist government? It is. Very good. Oh, what? Do they have some socialist policies to try to look after the well-being of their own people instead of just treating them like cattle and exploiting them? Well, good. Let's put those two words together. Oh, but they don't have swastika flags. Anyway, not going to get off. I'm not going to get off into today. I'm going to stay on topic, I promise. And to understand, my position is I'm always against war. I hate wars. I really am, because I don't have a sports ball mentality. I understand that war always means that the regular common people who never get a say in any of this crap suffer. The regular Ukrainians are suffering. The regular Russians are going to suffer. I hate wars. And really, when you get down to them, they always seem to wind up 99.9% of the time. There's some bullshit. One side just has to just push it. Russia's security demands leading up to this, and they bent over backwards diplomatically. You know, were very reasonable, and there was no reason they couldn't have been met. But the U.S. refused to do that. And let's be honest, NATO means the U.S. You know, I mean, that come on. They refused to do that. Now we get a bullshit war where the common people suffer. Now, One of the things that did bug me about Putin's speech is he was really downing on nationalism. This is what happens when nationalism is allowed to rise. And Dr. Johnson, I'll just be honest, I don't understand it. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and bloviate about something that I'm up front and open with you. I don't understand it. It may be something lost in translation. It may be some context that I don't get. Maybe when Dr. J gets back, we'll get some better context. Because he did kind of go off on this is the, you know, what happens when you allow. That doesn't make sense to me. Because Putin is a nationalist leader. I mean, come on. Lukashenko in Belarus is a nationalist leader. So I there's obviously something in that that I don't understand. So I'm going to leave that off the table now because I just don't get it. And there's no point in jabbering about it if I don't understand it. But now, in the context of nationalism and the Ukraine, because what is happening to the Ukrainian people is utterly ridiculous. And it's utterly inhumane. They're being set up to be slaughtered. It is intentionally being set up to have as maximum amount of civilian casualties. Russia has been obviously bending over backwards. If this is the U.S., because we get all this outrage on the U.S. media right now about, oh, Putin's brutal attack on the Ukraine. Can we get real for a minute? Can we get real for a minute? If the U.S. was conducting, if the Ukraine was some country in the Middle East, and this was an operation being carried out by the U.S., they wouldn't just be surrounding cities and attempting to keep civilian casualties to a minimum. They would be like carpet bombing that son of a bitch and drone striking wedding parties and just blowing everything up. We know this. I mean, this is just a proven fact. So, yeah, you know, come on now. Because Russia's been bending over backwards, trying to keep civilian casualties to a minimum, the Ukraine, and really by the Ukraine, the U.S., instructing their puppet regime. But the Ukraine is setting up for maximum amount of casualties. Why would they do this? I mean, they're handing out, we're going to hand out weapons to anybody. They're handing out weapons to school teachers and saying, go fight the Russians. I'm sorry, if people got good intentions or not, if you take a rank amateur, hand them a rifle and say, go over there and attack those professionally trained soldiers, it's going to be a bloodbath. And I can't think of any reason to do that except to be able to then run around and go, look, they're slaughtering civilians. Look, they're not wearing military uniforms. These are civilians in civilian clothing, and the Russians are slaughtering them in the street. The government handing these people around, they're grabbing people off the street and telling them, you got to go join the fight. How does this make any sense? The media in the U.S. is trying to present Zelensky as this hero president. He's out there fighting on the front. We don't know where this guy is, by the way. We don't even know if he's in the country. He's standing there wearing a green T-shirt like, you know, he just took off his army fatigues and he's in casual mode in his green T-shirt. And he's standing behind a nondescript background in front of a nondescript podium. That guy could be anywhere in the world. Nobody knows where he's at. Oh, what? We got a selfie camera thing here several days back of a prominent building in Kiev. Supposed to be in Kiev. Maybe it was supposed to be in one of the other cities. There in Ukraine, in front of a prominent building. See, I am here. It's awful funny because think about this. If you were walking down the city, a street in the city, and you looked up and your president is standing in front of a prominent building on the sidewalk taking a selfie, filming, talking about how I'm here, you would think a crowd would draw pretty quick. Ain't no crowd, is there? Just him standing there with the camera. We're here. We're here. We're here in the Ukraine. We're here to the end. He's going to fight the Russians down to the last Ukrainian. Well, since the U.S. media has loudly proclaimed it, let's discuss this a little bit. Since we're talking about how Putin is denazifying the Ukraine, and we've pretty much already established that there is nothing National Socialist going down in the Ukraine. So it's just a rhetorical term. They're the evil bad guys. I assume you could apply it and say he's talking about these basically militia groups or whatever. But if you're going to be a right winger from the West and get triggered about that, what National Socialist thing is being attacked in the Ukraine? And I think we've pretty well established there is none. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, because Zelensky is our hero leader of Ukraine. Look at this. This is a real leader. Never mind, he was a TV comedian here just a few years back. Now he's the wartime president. You got Boris Johnson now. He's trying to channel his inner Churchill. you've got these world leaders now all running around. They're like trying to LARP World War II or something. Anyway, I'm sorry. Zelensky is going to fight the Russians down to the last Ukrainian. He's a true for our country, as he would say, our country, my country. He's not Ukrainian. Let's get real. We're going to talk about nationalism here. He is not Ukrainian. I mean, he may be a Ukrainian citizen. Okay, he may on paper be a Ukrainian. He is not an ethnic Ukrainian. Don't ask me. Ask NBC News. Ask Fox News. Ask CNN. Because I turn on the TV and they point out that Putin can't be denazifying Ukraine because their president is Jewish. And if their president is Jewish, he is not ethnically Ukrainian. He may be a Ukrainian citizen, but he is not an ethnic Ukrainian. That comes from U.S. mainstream media mouths. I assure you, not intentionally, but that is what they have told us. Now, if you had a leader of your country telling your people to go pick up guns completely untrained and run out there in front of a bunch of professionally trained soldiers with your rifle while slinging your water balloon full of paint at their tank so that you can get gunned down, and that guy, say it's in the U.S., and that guy is, I don't know, Chinese, you'd be like, why is this Chinaman sending all of our guys to go and die? Down to the last white American. You'd be like, that's kind of funny, isn't it? Doesn't it say something when you have a guy that is not a Slav? He is not a Slavic person. NBC News told me he's not Slavic. They told me he's Jewish. So I'm going to go with the U.S. mainstream media on this. Now, I think it's a little troubling that you got somebody sending other people to go die for quote unquote my country when that's not ethnically his country. Definitions have to matter, right? And you got right wingers posting on comment sections on the internet, I'm gonna stand with Ukraine because that damn Putin wants to denazify Ukraine. Never mind, I'm standing with global homo. Now again, I'm not shilling for Russia. I shill for the people. I shill for the regular Ukrainians who are being told to pick up this rifle without any training, grab a water balloon full of paint, and go charge a Russian tank. Get your ass shot off. Because it'll make an awesome photo op for the Western media. That's who I sympathize with. I sympathize with the Russian people who are getting their economy wrecked. Who are getting their economy attacked and their standard of living attacked because the U.S. refused to acknowledge and negotiate on what honestly were very reasonable security demands. And to put it in context, it's been done before, it's been probably done to death, but the correct context of this would be if Russia came in, overthrew the Mexican government, put a puppet regime in there, then declared Mexico a part of the Russian conglomerate, the Russian Federation or something, and wanted to set up tactical, you know, nukes or to set up military bases right there across the Rio Grande, the U.S. government would not stand for that for 5 seconds, and we all know that. So they're really reasonable security demands, and there's no reason they couldn't have been negotiated on. We're not gaining anything from this. They sit there and say, NATO is a defensive organization. If it's a defensive organization, then why is it necessary to put it right up against Russia's border and point missiles at them? That's not very defensive. It's like if you had a group of guys and they're like, hey, we're a defensive organization, but this gang kept circling you and getting closer and closer and say, no, don't worry about it. We're just defending ourselves. And you're like, well, I'm here by myself and there's 8 of you guys and y'all are closing in tighter and tighter and you're looking pretty threatening. And I just saw you do this to somebody here a few years ago and you circled him in and then kicked his ass. No, man, we're just together like this in case you attack us. Why would I attack you? There's like 8 of you. I'm here by myself. This is NATO. Oh, we're just talking. We're a defensive organization. You're not supposed to remember what they did to Yugoslavia, Libya, or any other country that they've waged war against. Did the former Yugoslavia attack NATO? Did they do something to trigger Article 5? No. Trust us, we're a defensive organization. The U.S. could have negotiated all these things. This whole situation could have been avoided. But they wanted this confrontation with Russia because they want to wreck the Russian economy. They think it'll weaken Putin. They can do a puppet regime. They can get him overthrown, color revolution, put a puppet in there, and move forward with this whole stupid plan for some kind of great reset global government thing. Well, if they were to succeed in Russia, then make no doubt, next stop is China. I don't think it's a done deal that they can succeed in Russia. And with Russia, it's not unfathomable that they could succeed with pulling it off with Russia. But let me tell you, China would be a whole nother nut to crack. But they would be moving on to China next because their stupid, delusional plan involves a one world government with them running everything. And they can't have these countries, these major players, refusing to go along. Everybody has to go along with the plan. So they demanded this. And what happens as a result? The regular people suffer, and they don't care. They don't care. Knowing this, why do you think they care about anything? Why do they think they care about you? They're doing the COVID restrictions because they care about your health. They're implementing, they're taking your rights away to keep you safe. They're banning people from pointing out the truth on the internet because they want to protect you. They just want to keep you safe from disinformation. They don't care. The regular people are literally suffering and they don't care. These militia groups in Ukraine are moving artillery, heavy artillery, into the middle of residential areas to intentionally try to inflict civilian casualties. They are doing that. We know they're doing it. We've actually seen that this has happened. This is a thing. Doesn't get played on the U.S. media, but you can find it. That is a thing. That is happening. They want the people to suffer. They want the photo ops. So they can point and say, big bad Russia. Big bad Russia. Anyway, I hope that kind of cleared up that denazification thing. People just don't seem to understand it. Again, define the term. Quit using the term Nazi and force yourself to use the term National Socialist. Because if your sympathies are with this because of understanding the true history of World War II and understanding, as I said before, that National Socialist Germany was not the cartoon Hollywood villain that you were led to believe. So if you're sympathetic to that term, use the term national, force yourself to use the term National Socialist. And pretty soon you'll realize there's nothing National Socialist in Ukraine. There's nothing National Socialist about the government. There's nothing National Socialist about this Azov Battalion or any of these other militia groups. There's nothing National Socialist there at all. Anyway, hopefully that kind of cleared that up. Lots of happenings, and I'm sure we're not going to run out of opportunities, you know, to discuss these things more. And like I said, I kind of got into a little of this on my last show, but I didn't really have time to really bear down. So now that I have this opportunity to hog up airtime on Wednesday, mostly for my own selfish reasons of alleviating my mind-numbing boredom, I thought we'd really take that opportunity today to kind of bear down. Hopefully it's a little clarity. Again, as I said at the opening of this, I'm not an expert. I'm not pretending to be. I don't have a PhD in this sort of stuff. But I do have common sense. I have the ability to detach from emotionalism and look at the big picture. I insist on definitions and applying them to see through the rhetoric, the propaganda, and the utter bullshit that's involved with these things. And I have a good enough view of history to understand when I see patterns repeating themselves. As we talked about earlier, with these volunteer groups, we're going to volunteer. We got foreigners coming in. This idea that means rank amateurs are coming in from all over the West to come in and fight the Russians is not what it means. They're bringing in mercenaries. They're bringing in foreign troops now to attack Russia. This is escalating without people even realizing it's escalating. Anyway, but hopefully you got a little clearer understanding. Hopefully we're a little closer, and we don't, Alex, I'm not saying, well, I've got the situation nailed down. That's not the case, because there is so much BS being slung around here, and there's very little real information that is coming out of this war zone. And Russia is not really releasing any footage. Not like compared to, say, when the U.S. went into Iraq, we were getting smart bomb footage and propaganda every night out of there. We're not getting that sort of stuff. But to take the information we have and to try to understand the situation outside of a sports ball mentality, to understand the situation, understand what's going on. Why is that important? Because the point of the propaganda, the point of the lies is to manipulate you. It is to manipulate you, control your, and thus control your mind, and to get you to do and to go along with what they want you to do and what they want you to go along with. You don't have to pick a side. Just want to understand the truth. If you understand the truth, they're not going to be able to manipulate you. We're going to go ahead and get on out of here. We almost made an hour. You know, the Daily Nationalist is generally a 30-minute show, but I've got leeway. I talked to Sven, and I've got leeway here. I told him, I said, I don't know, 30 minutes? Might be an hour. It's a long monologue, even for me. But he's like, it's okay. I'll make it work. So kudos to Sven Longshades. I do that. Very much. We almost wound up going a full hour, but if I try to stretch this last 10 minutes, it would just be empty gibberish, and you get enough of that on the regular mainstream media. We're gonna get on out of here. I'll see y'all again back here Friday for the regular installment of the Daily Nationalist, and of course next week for the Parish of the Patriots. So until then, stay safe, stay sane, and we'll see you later.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.